Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First up, Liz Coleman joins us now from Met Erin. So Liz, can you give us the latest update on this storm?
Yeah, so Storm Eowyn is still affecting the country, as was mentioned before there in the news bulletins. Much of the country is still under a red warning, although it has eased in the south. But there is an orange warning coming into effect as those red warnings expire. And then we also have a further yellow level warnings. The strongest winds at the moment are being felt in the north and northwest as the centre of the low pressure system pulls away towards Scotland. Even though there is a downgrading of these winds through the day today, we would ask people not to become complacent. There's still a lot of impacts there out on the roads, and also any trees that have been compromised in the red wind scenario will make them down easier in the orange wind scenario. So there still are further impacts to be expected across the country.
Yeah, I see one of our reporters saying that Louth County Council is saying that they're only experiencing the peak of the storm right now. And that would fit with what you're saying, that the strongest winds are in the north-northwest area.
Absolutely, yeah. Particularly as well in Donegal, will be the last place to experience the red warnings, or the expiration of the red warnings is until 2 p.m. there. And then they are going to have an orange and a yellow continuing for much of the day. So yeah, as it pulls away towards Scotland, the peak of the winds are to the south of the centre of the low pressure, and that's currently over the northern half of the country.
Now, as many people won't have been outside the door to see what's happened overnight, but it is as you expected. You know, this was as strong as Met Erin had forecast.
Yeah, this was an exceptional storm, record-breaking from a wind speed perspective. So we have recorded the highest wind gust and mean wind speed at Macehead earlier this morning.
Now, despite what we say about Louth County Council saying that they're only getting the peak of this now, has the East Coast escaped some of the worst of the bad weather?
It hasn't maybe been at red level, but we definitely have seen impactful winds at Casement Aerodrome. Dublin Airport observations were slightly lower, but they probably were experienced in parts of Dublin. But that doesn't disregard the impacts that are being experienced around Dublin. There's a lot of trees that are down on the roads, so we would ask people not to venture out in vehicles. Roads need to be kept clear so that the emergency responders can deal with that, and also so people can get the power back up as well.
Okay, so really important for people to be very careful in the coming hours then.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not through this yet, even though it might feel like it in some places. There are still wind warnings in effect, and we'd ask people to take care.
Liz, we'll keep in touch with you there at Met Erin, but thank you for now. Let's go to Brian Tapley from ESB Network. So, Brian, we were hearing this morning that 715,000 people are without power. Do you expect that to rise?
Morning, Claire. Yes, we expect that figure to rise over the course of today because I suppose the country, as was said already, is still in red alert, and some parts of the northwest have yet to kind of bear the full brunt of the storm. So unfortunately, the figure will rise, and look, it's unprecedented for us, the number of customers without power. It's widespread, it's countrywide, and it's extensive damage to our network.
And of course, you can't get your teams out yet in most places that are still under the red warning, right?
Yeah, so at the moment, all we're doing at the moment is we're dealing with extreme danger calls, safety calls that come in. So we are attending those and we are making them safe. But in terms of, you know, full damage assessment and patrolling and repair work, that won't start properly until the red level, till the afternoon when the red level goes away.
I mean, this is, as you say, unprecedented. What does it mean in terms of getting these people back up and connected again? Have you been able to get your head around what the timeline might look like?
Yeah, so at the moment, we haven't done all the damage assessment. So PowerCheck won't have estimated restoration times probably till Saturday at the earliest until we've been out and seen the extent of the damage. And because of the extent, it's going to take us a while to do that. To give you Storm Dara, we had 395,000 customers without power, and that took about 7 days to get the last customer back. So realistically, this will take more than 7 days or more than a week to get all customers restored. We will get large numbers back over the next number of days, but when we get to the tail end of the storm and we're doing work to restore small numbers of customers, unfortunately, we're looking at more than a week.
Like if this touches a million connections that are down, I mean, what is that in the context of the overall number of connections we have in Ireland? Are we looking at half of your connections being out?
We've just over 2 million customers connected, you know, that could be a domestic customer, that could be a large industrial customer, or a kind of public lighting or unmetered connections. So, yeah, if it gets to there, and I'm not sure it will, but mm-hmm. if it gets to that sort of scale, you're talking nearly half of our customers that are connected to the network could be impacted by this storm.
And is it concentrated in any particular area or is it nationwide?
Yeah, so I suppose if you take it by region, in the southwest, there's about 70,000 off at the moment, and kind of South Kerry is probably the worst impacted, and then County Clare and parts of Limerick. If you go into the Midlands, South Midlands, there's about 110 off, and Central Midlands, there's 170,000, and Athlone, Longford, Mullingar, Tullamore are really badly affected there. And then as you go up to the northwest, we've 225,000 without power, and the worst impacted there are Galway, Sligo, Mayo, and I think Donegal is yet to see the full brunt of the storm. So Donegal could come into play in the afternoon.
Yep.
And then over on the northeast, Cavan is particularly badly impacted.
Right, Cavan as well. Okay, listen, Brian, we're going to keep in touch with ESB Networks, and I know you'll send out any news as you have it over the course of the morning, but thanks for being with us. That's Brian Tapley there. I see the Connacht GAA air dome has been destroyed during the storm. This is the multi-million euro facility, according to our colleagues in the newsroom near Ballyhaunis. It's now known as the NUI Galway Connacht GAA Air Dome, open in 2020. A huge success. It can host indoor games at all levels, but the winds have flattened it as of 4 o'clock this morning, and I'm sure we'll have lots of stories like that coming in over the course of the morning. Jane in Wexford says it was the noise of the storm that got me. It was the worst ever. I know a lot of people didn't get a wink of sleep because of that. Let's find out now a little bit more about what's happening around the country. Colleen O'Nocton from Radio na Gaeltachta joins us, and thanks for being with us, Colleen. We've seen the strongest wind recorded at Cianwasa in Galway. You're in our Cosla studio, so tell us a little bit about what's been experienced there where you are.
Well, I suppose, Claire, it was a frightening experience last night here in Galway, and the wind was so strong, you couldn't imagine it. I came down in a dormer bungalow, and the wind was forcing my front door in, and that has a 5-pin locking system on it. So the force of the wind is something that I've never experienced ever in my life, and an awful lot of other people, I say, haven't experienced it either, because I suppose it started around here, around, I suppose, 1 o'clock or so. Mm-hmm. And then at 2 o'clock, the electricity was gone. But we still had communication systems ongoing. But after 4 o'clock, telecommunications, everything is gone around here. And even in our Cosla studios here this morning, there's no telecommunication systems working apart from patching this on to Dublin. But it was unbelievable. And as I was travelling to work, it was a scary experience. I could see trees falling down on the road. And then as I approached the Cosla headquarters here, there's another tree across the road. So that meant that emergency services couldn't travel if they were called out or if they were allowed to travel at that time. But it was an experience, to tell you the truth now, Claire. Mm-hmm. And I suppose in the Cairn area, I have colleagues there. We were in contact at 4 o'clock this morning, but we lost all contact since. And this is the second time that area has been hit, because prior to Christmas there, there was a snowstorm and they lost all their telecommunication system there for 2 weeks. So they seem to have taken the brunt of it as well as Galway West has taken the brunt, as well as Mayo. And as you said, there, the air dome there in Mayo has blown away. But it's virtually impossible to find out what the impact is so far, because the telecommunication systems, as I said, are down and people can't relay the messages onto the newsroom here in Radio na Gaeltachta or onto other stations. So at the moment, we're just living in people trying to contact people, but I'm afraid that the communication systems aren't working, and the emergency services I see are out already clearing some of the debris and the roads here in Galway West, Clare.
Okay, and the conditions now, has it moved on now, do you feel?
Well, it has eased up here, Clare, but it's still dangerous. And for travelling conditions, there's debris blown all over the roads. And this morning, I couldn't believe it. I thought, Well, it's bad, but I travelled around 4 miles or so to the headquarters here, Reading Gaeltachta, and I said it was the worst experience I ever had because you weren't. It was like Armageddon, to tell you the truth, Claire, because there were trees falling, branches coming down, signs being blown away. And of course, there's flags and bunting up here because one of the local teams in Carrua are participating in the All-Ireland Junior Final tomorrow. And you could see them blown away and blown across the flags and bunting, blown across the roads in area as we headed into Castle here. But I've never experienced anything like this in my life, Claire.
Well, look, it tallies with what we saw with that wind speed record broken at Kianwasa, you know, with the gust of 183 kilometres an hour. Colleen, we'll leave you for now in Castle, but we'll check in with you over the course of the morning as you make contact with more people, hopefully, if the communications come back. And now, to tell us more about that wind record, we have Dr. Darius Sabernis, Research Fellow at the University of Galway, who holds responsibility for Kianwasa Atmospheric Research Station. And thank you, Darius, for being with us. Can you tell us more about that wind record there that you've recorded?
Yeah, good morning, Claire and all. Yeah, that's right. University of Galway has MASIAT research station there, and we hold the Meteiran, official Meteiran station there. So the power went off at about midnight, but then it was the measurements were still ongoing for about a couple of hours on sort of, you know, batteries, and then everything went down around 5 a.m. when this highest wind speed was recorded.
Mm-hmm. So beyond 5 a.m. you won't have a read recorded there?
Maybe for another little bit, but not by much, because, you know, power is everything, and there was no power backup generator there, but we have another part of the station which is on the generator, so maybe some of the other measurements, not meteorological measurements but scientific measurements, are still ongoing.
Mm-hmm. But you're in no doubt that the wind speed record was broken?
Well, to be honest, it was coming because you know, for years and years, you know, I'm at University of Galway for 20 plus years, and MASIAT was always recording the highest wind speed of almost every storm. So, yeah, it was coming, but we didn't know how bad it would be. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is very, very bad. Although that is, in from my personal experience, that I experienced those kind of wind speeds when I was out at sea in 2006 on actually a research vessel, Celtic Explorer. And that was equally frightening, but probably not as frightening when you are at sea, because, you know, sea is just, you know, massive waves, while on land there are many dangers from, like, you know, falling trees, you know, debris or whatever structural damage to the buildings.
Yes.
So, you know, poor people in the area.
Yes, as Colleen described so well to us a little earlier. Thank you very much, Dr. Darius Sabernis, for joining us there. We'll get more in just a moment after this break. Now, we heard just before the break from Colleen O'Neachtain from Radio na Gaeltachta about how awful things have been in the Galway area. Let's get more from there now. Our reporter Fergal O'Brien joins us. So, Fergal, what can you tell us about conditions?
Well, Claire, I'm looking out now over Galway Bay here from Salt Hill at the moment, and I have to say the conditions are vastly different to what they were like overnight here. As Colleen was pointing out, this part of the country certainly bore the brunt, or certainly recorded some of the, as we know, the highest gusts and highest mean averages. And that was certainly felt here throughout the night in the location where we were. In fact, I have to say that I actually found it impossible to sleep last night because of the wind hitting against the windows here, and there was this constant noise. And I have to say, I've never actually experienced a wind as strong, and I've covered many storms over the years for RTE and previous employers as well. And this was definitely on another level completely. Like the conditions were extreme. Now, it was obviously dark. It was very hard to see, but you could see the mist coming from the sea, even though the tide was out at the height of the worst of the conditions. But that said, also there had been the concerns of overtopping along the prom here in Salt Hill. The main road had been closed off overnight, and the main car parks in this area were closed also to hopefully prevent any cars being damaged. But an area down from where I am at the moment, near the aquarium in Salt Hill, if you might be familiar with that, there was significant flooding there overnight. So it goes to show that even though the tide was out, there was still the force of the the wind pushed that water, the surge behind the wind of the water pushed that out over onto the roads and into the car park.
Yeah, Fergal, when Colleen was speaking to us earlier, he was saying it's difficult to get in touch with people to find out how bad the damage is across the area. Is it the same for you, or what sort of information are you getting about that?
It's exactly the same, actually. So I've been making calls from since 5 o'clock this morning, in touch with some of the people from the local authorities. And basically what they're telling me at the moment is that, well, they have said that there was a plan in place that none of the crews would be deployed to fully assess the damage until the red alert had been lifted. But they're saying that even though that plan was in place, they're having difficulty contacting various people around the county because the phone lines seem to be getting interrupted. People are finding it hard to get connected. Sometimes you do get connected, then you're cut off. So it's making it a bit more challenging to establish exactly what has happened. So as things currently stand, Galway City Council, Galway County Council and Mayo County Council really haven't had a full grasp of the, I suppose, the extent of the damage that's been caused by the storm, because the crews, A, haven't been able to get out, but also there's been that bit of difficulty with people calling in with reports of incidents. So we really won't get an idea, I think, of the extent of the damage until the crews can get out, and we're waiting for the red alert to be lifted at 11 here in the Galway area, and then we hope to get out ourselves to see if we can survey some of the damage and see what has happened.
Fergal,
but I know, for example...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for example, Galway City Council have received reports of a lot of slate coming off the roofs of houses, damaging cars on the ground as a result, sheds being blown from one garden into another. There's a building down the road here which seems to have suffered some damage to the roof, and a bus shelter also badly damaged. So there's definitely going to be damage, I think that's fair to say, from this storm.
Okay, but we mightn't know the extent of it until after 11, as you say. Fergal, thank you so much there in Galway. Fergal O'Brien, Sinead Hussey, RTE Midlands correspondent, is in Mullingar this morning. So Sinead, how are you faring there?
Yeah, we've about under an hour left of this red warning. But when you think it's abating, it just seems to be whipping up again. And the winds have been really strong here since around 4 a.m. The red alert was due to come into place from 6. But certainly long before that, we've had really, really strong high winds. And power outages were being reported from around 2 o'clock this morning right across the region. As Fergal said, it was really frightening. I've never experienced anything like it. And between around 5:30 this morning and 7, it was really extreme. It's also, as you said, hard to get in touch with people. I was trying to check in with family and friends and other contacts this morning, but I'm seeing that messages are not just delivering to people. So that is a problem, trying to ascertain how bad it is and what sort of damage has been done. Like much of the country, tens of thousands of households across Offaly, Leash, Westmeath, Longford, Roscommon, Kildare, without power this morning. We're hearing reports of roofs coming off sheds, slates coming off roofs, and that's before people go outside and really take a good look. There's widespread trees down right across the region. The N4, the main Dublin to Sligo road, that's been severely impacted in several places. So between Mullingar and Longford, there's trees down. The village of Newtown Forbes, it's blocked on both sides because of fallen trees. Leash County Council reporting a number of fallen trees. The Port Leash to Mount Mellick road is blocked. And Roscommon has also been significantly impacted by power outages. And, you know, we've been saying this all morning, people are only going to be able to assess that damage in the coming hours. And even at that, it's going to take time to mobilise staff to get them to locations, to clear roads and get power restored. So we're in for a lot of disruption and for a long period of time, I think.
Yeah, we certainly are, Sinead. Thank you very much, Sinead Hussey there. And if you're listening to this and you can bring us any information about damage in your area, please get in touch if you can. The WhatsApp number is 0870 32 32 32 or text us on 51551. Pascal Sheehy, our southern editor, is in Cork. So Pascal, how are conditions there this morning?
Claire, I'm under a blue sky. We have been lifted out of the red weather warning alert, and things are calming down here. In fact, since 5 o'clock this morning, things have been calming down pretty consistently. That's not to say that the south of the country has escaped damage. I suspect we have escaped the worst, but still damage has been sustained. The worst of that impacting on electricity supplies to tens of thousands of homes across the south coast and the southwest coast. Mm-hmm. There was damage to property in some instances. Two families were evacuated in County Kerry at about 3 o'clock this morning. A couple and their two dogs were evacuated after the gable end of their home was blown down at Cowntraw, that's Ventry, outside Dangany Hoosh on the Corcuigne Peninsula. And then later on, a couple was evacuated from their home near Ballybunion in North Kerry when the roof blew off their home. And again, in both of those cases, miraculously, no injuries were caused. In Cork City, there was damage done to two caravans. In separate incidents on the north side of the city, in one instance, one caravan suffered structural damage, but in the second instance, a 19-year-old man was asleep inside in the caravan. It was blown over. He was brought to hospital, but his injuries are minor.
Pascal, thank you very much. Pascal Sheehy there, who is in Cork. Now let's go to Mayo and to Fergus Sweeney, who's a photojournalist and cameraman based in Erris in Blacksod Bay in Mayo. And Fergus is on the line. Hello, Fergus. What's it like there where you are? Have we lost Fergus?
Hi, Claire. How's it going?
There you are,
so
Fergus.
I suppose last night, hello. Yeah. Hi, Claire. How's it going?
Ahead, Fergus.
I suppose we lost power here at about 2 a.m. last night. And then at about 5 o'clock, the really strong winds started to hit into the area. And to be honest, it was like nothing I ever experienced before. We've had significant damage in the area, a number of roofs off buildings, quite a lot of communications lines down on the roads.
That line seems to be very shaky there. We might just try and get Fergus back, but you can understand communications are really difficult. I mentioned to you there that if you have any information about what's going on in your area, do let us know, because we're trying to build a picture for people here because people can't get out. But if you do have any information and it's safe for you and you're able to send that information to us, please do so. And if you've any pictures of damage, we'd love to see those pictures, and we put them up on social media so we can get a sense of how this storm has affected us. The WhatsApp number that you need again is 0870 32 32 32. Back after this break. John Prenti is with us now, Connacht GAA Secretary. John, hello to you.
How are you, Claire? How are you?
I'm good, but you've lost your air dome.
Yeah, we've had better nights and days, but unfortunately we lost the air dome during the night. But thankfully there was nobody hurt.
Right, so this was a fabulous facility you've had there since 2020, wasn't it? Maybe tell us a little bit about it. It's near Ballyhaun, it's at Bacon.
Yes, in Bacon, halfway between Ballyhaun and Knock. We've inflated in July 2020, and we've had huge success with it since, with people from all over the country. We had actually kids from Cork playing there last weekend, and clubs come there, were coming there for a day out. Obviously, all the matches we have, we had the upcoming Sigerson Fitzgibbon and Ashburn Cups booked in there in a couple of weeks' time, and so it has been. This has been a huge success and will be again.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't been able to get to the site now, have you?
I'm on the way now, just now.
Right, but you've seen pictures, as we all have. It does look like it's been extensively damaged.
It's gone. It's just ripped apart.
Hmm. What's the plan? I mean, I know it's very hard to ask you that question and expect an answer so soon after it happened, but will it be back?
Well, the plan is that we're going to tidy up the site in the next week and then start. The plan is, from the minute I got the message that it was gone, that we'll build again.
Mm-hmm. It'll be back.
It'll be back.
All right, John, we'll let you get on your way and look after yourself there. That's John Prenti.
Thanks very much, Claire.
Connacht GAA Secretary. Let's go to Graeme McQueen now, Head of Media Relations with the DAA. So, Graeme, we've had a number of messages in from people who are surprised that there are still flights operating over the course of this red warning. What's the latest picture and what can you tell us about those flights?
Yeah, so we started to see some flights taking off just after 9:30. The wind conditions improved considerably, which allowed for that to happen. So I think, as I was explaining on your show yesterday, the weather warnings wouldn't apply to a piece of national infrastructure like an airport, maybe in the same way they would do the road network or what have you. So that's why the flights were able to take off.
Okay, so how many flights have managed to get away in the last number of hours?
Just in the last couple of minutes, but our fourth departure of the day has taken off. We've not had any arrivals yet. The first arrival is due in just after 11 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm. So people are coming to the airport and hoping and expecting that their flights will depart.
Yeah, we're seeing numbers coming since early on. We had about 600 people arrive into the airport through security before 9 o'clock. And just to put that into context, on a typical Friday like today, we'd have seen about 10,000 going through by that time. So small numbers came, I guess, just on the off chance they wanted to make sure they were there if their flight did take off. I think a lot of people were arriving early for flights as well in anticipation of hopefully getting away later on. So, look, there is going to be a lot of disruption and delays over the course of the day. The knock-on impact of the last 12 hours or so will last into the afternoon and evening. So the advice to anyone who is flying today would certainly be to keep in touch with your airline for latest updates.
All right, check with the airline. Graeme, thanks for being with us this morning from the DAA. David Martin from the Road Safety Authority is on the line now. David, from what we've heard so far, and people are sending us in their pictures as well on WhatsApp, which is really useful. Keep them coming, 0870 32 32 32. There appears to be an awful lot of debris on the roads, from the road signs to trees. What are you hearing?
Yeah, that seems to be the case, all right. Particularly bad in the west and northwest. We're based in Mayo, and my colleagues are without electricity and are really struggling. Look, we still have a red warning in place for most of the country. That will be lifted over the next couple of hours, but it's going to be replaced by an orange weather warning, and that in itself represents very difficult driving and travelling conditions. So, you know, just be very, very careful about it. There will be debris on the road. There's a lot of trees down. There'll be power lines down as well. So our advice is, for the course of the day, whether it's red or whether it's orange, don't travel.
Okay.
If you can avoid travelling, don't do so.
But you're still building a picture of what's happened on our roads. Is that fair to say? Because you can't get people out to check.
Absolutely, yes. Look, it's anecdotal. I'm looking at probably some of the same images that you are on Twitter, etc. It looks pretty bad, as I said, pretty out in the west and northwest particularly. I'm based in Cork here, and it's not so bad, and I think the red warning has lifted here. But the overarching advice is only drive if you absolutely have to. I think it's, if you are driving, just remember that the control of your vehicle is going to be affected, particularly if you're driving a truck or a bus. There's gusts in open areas, particularly on motorways. There's going to be crosswinds. That's going to blow you off course. So just keep a firm grip on the wheel. If you must drive, reduce your speed and keep a safe distance from the vehicle in front of you.
But we all have to remember, you know, even when the red warning lifts in our area, if we're going out onto those roads, there's likely to be bits and bobs of trees and road signs and various other debris on those roads. And it's still an orange, as you've reminded us.
Absolutely. And if you do encounter any debris on the roads or fallen trees, let the Gardaí know. Just get in touch and alert them to that. If the road ahead is flooded, and particularly this affects coastal areas, don't attempt to drive through it. Turn around and find an alternative route. It's just not worth taking that risk at all.
David, thank you very much. David Martin from the Road Safety Authority. Blake Boland, spokesperson for Dublin Bus, is on the line. Blake, good morning to you. Public transport isn't running while this red warning is in place, but are you expecting Dublin Bus services to resume later today?
We are expecting to resume later today. So as you mentioned already, that red status warning does finish at 11. However, that doesn't mean that our buses will drive out the door at 11. We, at that stage, will be sending our inspectors and our chief inspectors out on the road to survey the damage, and it'll be done on a case-by-case basis. So safety is the main thing here for our passengers, of course, but we need to make sure that our employees and our drivers are safe coming into work, and they're not really going to be leaving their homes until around that 11 mark. So we are working hard. We're making assessments on an individual basis to try to get Dublin moving back as quickly as we can, but in a safe manner.
So realistically, it'll be late this afternoon, would you say, maybe this evening, before Dublin Bus is back?
Well, that's why I mentioned the case-by-case basis. So some routes will be easier than others. There's no blockages there, and a driver who has happened to live local can get in quickly and we can start getting things moving quickly. But on the other side of that, we might have routes going, you know, towards South County Dublin on higher ground. And these vehicles are very high-sided vehicles and they might not be safe on those particular routes. So what we're really encouraging people to do here is to keep an eye on our website, that's Dublin Bus, but also just on our socials, so at Dublin Bus News. And that is probably the best way to get up-to-date information. But we're doing our best to get each route out as quickly as possible, but in a safe manner.
All right. Thank you very much, Blake. And that's the latest news on Dublin Bus. As I mentioned, thank you so much for sending in all of those great pictures on WhatsApp. When you're doing so, will you let us know where you are and if you want your name included? And we'd love to just send them out on social media so people can see what's going on. The number is 0870 32 32 32. Bit of politics coming up next.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.